From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of messages dealing with the matter of prayer. From the Scriptures, he has defined the nature of true prayer, emphasizing the need for personal, private prayer. He has set forth the kind of praying that God will answer and reminded us that God knows our most urgent needs. Today, he comes to the heart of the series as he begins to deal with what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, those matchless instructions for prayer which the Lord Jesus Christ set forth. Taking the words of the prayer as found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, Dr. Cairns begins this part of the series by explaining the structure of the model prayer. First of all, however, he encourages those who wish to know more about God's way of salvation to ask for a copy of his booklet, A New Beginning, in which you'll find the secret to the true riches.
It's strange that in the presence of death, when you'd think people would be trying to talk sense, you get very often a lot of nonsense. Years ago I heard the funny, but not so funny, story of a poor man who died, but he had made sure before he died that he had scraped together enough to give himself a real ornate funeral, the best of a hearse, the most ornate coffin. And as the thing was moving along, another old fellow standing by looked, and he was overawed, and he said, "Man, that's real living. Crazy indeed. Real living. To be buried in a silver-plated coffin, or a coffin with silver knobs. How crazy can you get?" And yet, that's the sort of nonsense people talk about in death. Thankfully, now and again, somebody comes along to talk some sense. A couple of men were watching a funeral go by. It was a very rich man this time who had died, and one said to the other, "How much did he leave?" And the other answered immediately, "Everything. He left everything." How true it is. The rich man cannot carry one penny beyond the grave. I know the ancient Egyptians used to put treasures in with the corpses, but when the centuries passed and the corpses were found and the burial places were opened up, there was the treasure, still the same, untouched, unremoved, until their hands took it away. How much did he leave? Everything. The Bible teaches us, trust not in uncertain riches. If you want really to be rich, you need riches that will endure forever. You need riches that will not die and be cast away at death. You remember the Lord Jesus said to the rich fool in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, he said of him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" All these things that you've thought so much of and that you're bringing around you and treasuring, whose are they going to be? For they're certainly not going to be yours. That's to die in ultimate poverty, to lose your soul as well as your bank balance, to lose your soul as well as your houses and lands. To lose your soul is ultimate poverty. If you want to have real riches, you will find them with the one who is called rich in mercy. That's the God of all grace. God is rich in mercy. You remember what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Here's real wealth. Here are the true riches. The riches of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to get really rich, really quickly, you get immediately to Christ. Come with all the poverty and pollution of your sin. Confess your need before him. Take him as he's freely offered in the gospel as your Lord and your Savior, and you will be rich indeed.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns' book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
Now then, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 5, once again. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We finish the reading at verse 13. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his own name's sake. How we pray depends very largely on how well we learn the lessons the Savior teaches us in verses 5 through 8 of this passage of Scripture. Now, I'm not going to spend time again in those verses. We have spent about 6 Sabbath mornings considering them together. But we may recollect that in them the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that we should not pray like hypocrites. And then he tells us that we should not pray like heathens. And unfortunately, it's very possible for professing Christians to pray both like hypocrites and like heathens. The Savior warns us against that. He warns us that we should pray without ostentation, without calling attention to our secret devotions with God. He tells us that we ought to get alone with God, go to the closet, shut to the door, and seek true communion with our Father who is in secret and who sees in secret. Now, with all this in mind, the Lord Jesus goes on to say in verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Therefore, in the light of all that I have said, pray like this. And he goes on to give us what we generally call the Lord's Prayer. If you want to know how to pray, then here's the answer. If you want to know what to pray, here's the answer. And if you want to know why to pray, then this prayer gives us the answer. For what you have here is a pattern for all our praying. The Lord Jesus Christ very clearly intended that it would be so. The more I look at the Lord's Prayer, the more I'm convinced that in many ways it covers all the ground that we ever need to cover in prayer. Now, obviously not exhaustively. By that I mean it doesn't actually spell out every petition, every word that we will ever need to pray. But it covers the ground entirely suggestively. In other words, it introduces us to categories of praying. It introduces us to great tracts of thought in prayer that, properly understood, will cover all our earthly experience. That means that no matter how well we know the Lord's Prayer, we really haven't begun to learn it at all. It means, however much we have entered into the Lord's Prayer, there are infinite depths in it which we yet must plumb. This is a prayer that will repay a lifetime of study. Now, it starts with the words, "Our Father." And that fact tells us immediately that this is a prayer that is peculiarly a prayer for the children of God. I think that's obvious. It's a prayer for the children of God. I don't want to digress too much on this point this morning. But as I was sitting in the pew today during the first part of the service, and my mind was going over the first part of the Lord's Prayer again, I thought that only God's children those born of a spirit, rightly related to Him through Jesus Christ, have any access to God. That until a person comes to be a child of God, he's shut out of the throne room. He's shut out from the throne of grace. He has no access to the mercy seat. No solace in the time of great need. There are some people here this morning, and you have learned to sing the praises of God. You've even learned to say the words of the Lord's Prayer. And yet, because you've never become a child of God, you're yet shut out from His presence. And you can't even begin to lisp the simplest prayer for help, for blessing, for guidance, for grace. Now, that is not to say that God never hears a cry of an ungodly man. That would be unscriptural and untrue. For the grace of God is so much greater than we ever deserve. But it is to say that there are many of you who are living in a world of great trouble and great trial. And when trouble hits you, you'll be reaching for every straw. You'll be turning in every direction. You'll be trying every available means to bring some solace to your soul. And yet, because of the wicked, stubborn impenitence of your heart in rejecting the offer of the grace of God in the gospel, you are not a child of God, and you cannot reach out and touch Him. I was just reading this morning, in my private times in the study before I came, that great 48th Psalm. I hope maybe not too distantly in the future I'll get to preach a bit in that Psalm if the Lord will allow it. Such a wonderful Psalm. But the psalmist went down the magnificent works of God on behalf of His people. Then he said, "This God is our God." What a testimony. Not just to be able to say the words of the Lord's Prayer, but to be able honestly to say, "This Father is my Father. This God is my God. And this prayer is my prayer." I would trust this morning that you'll linger no longer outside the pale of mercy, but flee to Christ to become a child of God and enter into this glorious fellowship with the Father the Savior is indicating in this prayer. It is a prayer for the children of God. Now, I think that's so obvious that it comes as a shock when we realize that there are many who refuse this prayer any place at all in Christian worship, whether public or private. There are many dispensationalists. Some dispensationalists would say they are extreme dispensationalists or hyper-dispensationalists. I will leave that theological camp to fight its own internal battles. But I will say that they will not allow this prayer to be prayed. I know of a very eminent Plymouth Brethren evangelist in the United Kingdom, he's now operating in North America, who would not permit his children even to be taught the words of the Lord's Prayer. Would not allow them ever to say the words of the Lord's Prayer. Because, said he, this does not belong to the Church of Christ. These people tell us, first, there is no mention here of praying in the name of Christ. Therefore, this is not Christian praying. And they say it is praying on the ground of law, not of grace, because the prayer says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." That is law, not grace. Those are the objections. And I'm glad to tell you that there is absolutely no merit in either one of them. As to the first, that this is not a prayer in the name of Christ. Remember what I said, the pattern here is not exhaustive, but suggestive. The Lord Jesus left the full teaching of what it is to pray in His name until the time when the disciples could benefit from it, and He left it until the end of His ministry. But when we think of praying in the name of Christ, what does that mean? It means many things, but one of those things is we pray on the authority of Christ. And certainly when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying it by the explicit authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only so, but when we say, address God as Father, notice we say not my Father, but our Father. Christian never stands alone before God. Never.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.